Anger is an emotion that can easily get out of control. When I was a quarterback, I had this graphically illustrated to me. I ran a bootleg play. And as a quarterback, what you do is you fake a handoff, you put the football on your hip, and you run around end. And as I did that, the defensive end didn't catch what I was doing till just when I was right alongside of him. And I was able to put on a move, and he fell flat on his face, and I kept going. He was obviously furious. Every time I would come out under center, I would look down, and there he would be with a look on his face, like, if I can get my hands on you, I'll kill you. He was angry. Well, he had a chance. I faded the pass, and my blocker on that side, this guy ran right over him. And as I'm getting ready to throw the ball, this guy was able to put his hand inside my helmet and his fingers inside my lip. When the play was over, he had a healthy chunk of my lip under his fingernails. I had a hole the size of a dime right here. And it was bleeding like crazy, down into my mouth. Went to the sideline. They tried to put a butterfly bandage on a lip. Try doing that. Just wouldn't stick. I had to go out the rest of the game and call signals like this. Hut! 1, 2, 3, 4. But now I was mad. Now I was mad. This guy had a piece of my lip, which I would never get back. But how does a quarterback ever get to a defensive end? Well, you know what happened? It's interesting. For some reason, this fella also returned their punts. And it was time for us to punt. And I punted the football, and I was the safety valve. I was the last guy before someone would go for a touchdown. He was able to get out around his blockers. They came down, and he had what's called the wall. And he had the sideline. He had about 8 yards between his blockers and the sideline. There was only one person in the way, and it was me. And as I saw him coming, as fast as he could run, I decided it was now time to get a return on my lip. I ran as fast as I could. I hit him as hard as I could. And when I got up, he didn't. He didn't move. Anger. I walked off the field, and if you think I was angry, you should have seen my coach, who felt that a good sportsman should not get excited when his opponent is hurt and not moving. But you notice the chain reaction. First, I did something that was flippant. He got angry. He did something out of anger that got me angry. I, in turn, repaid the favor. And my coach got involved. He was angry. Just a cycle of anger. Well, I'll tell you what we'd like to do today. We'd like to consider the untamed temper as we walk in the wisdom of Proverbs. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We'll be in chapter 14 today. Now, here's what I'd like to do. The book of Proverbs, you'll find various topics scattered throughout the entire book. Anger will be seen intermittently throughout the 31 chapters of Proverbs. In that day, it was easier for them to understand the book because they probably had it memorized. I don't think too many of us here have that. So what I would like to do is take some select topics in Proverbs and try and concentrate on these. First, let us say this about anger. Anger is a normal and universal human emotion. Everyone experiences it. Anger in and of itself is not evil. Let me tell you why. First of all, anger is attributed to God. In order for us to understand God, we have to give him, quote, human emotions for our understanding. And one of the emotions we are able to attribute to God from the Scriptures is anger. An angry God. Anger over disobedience. Anger over sin. So if anger were in and of itself a sin, we'd never be able to attribute it to God. Also, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, we read the admonition, be angry, but don't sin. In other words, you can be angry, but don't allow it to get to the point where you sin. Now, when does anger become something that's evil, something that's sinful? Let me give you several suggestions. Number one, it becomes sinful when it's allowed to go uncontrolled. It's untapped. You're angry to the point where you cannot control your anger at all. You'll do anything short of murdering a person. But it's also sinful when it's disproportionate to the offense. In other words, you get angry well out of proportion to what took place. Good example we used last time. You're driving down the street and a guy cuts you off. He's obviously either drunk or just doesn't know how to drive. but he's done something that's illegal, it's wrong, and it is offensive. Cuts you off. Well, you can get angry. Natural response. In fact, it's almost a fear response. He almost hit you. That's natural. But if you pull up alongside in your pickup and take your gun off the gun rack and blow his head off, that's a disproportionate response to the situation. That would be wrong. Anger is also wrong when it's displaced. Now, this is one of the biggest problems, I think, in our homes. Displaced anger. It's you're angry at the boss or you're angry at your secretary. But you're angry and you're not able to really vent that anger until you get home. And you vent it on your wife, you vent it on your children. Whoever's there, you vent the anger. It's displaced. I'm angry at my boss, but I'll take it out on somebody else. And that's wrong. And we do it all the time. Anger is also wrong when it is allowed to grow and fester and turn into bitterness. I can't tell you how many times in a counseling situation I've talked to someone who has the lines of bitterness on their face. You know what I mean. You can see somebody that has within them a root of bitterness. It affects their countenance. You look at them and you say, man, that person is unhappy. Well, anger eventually becomes bitterness if it's not resolved. And it is wrong. But what happens, here's our big question, what happens if you have an untamed temper, a short fuse? What if you're the kind of person that tends to fly off the handle? Well, first thing we're going to see, chapter 14. If you have an untamed temper, you are prone to rash actions and decisions. In other words, if you have a short fuse, a quick temper, you tend to react to problems rather than reflect on problems. You get into a reactionary mode. Something happens, what do? You react. And you react in anger, frustration. You never stop to think about what you're going to do. You just do it. You just respond. Now, throughout Proverbs, the wise man is always said to be slow to anger. The wise man. And remember, in Proverbs, wisdom means the skill of godly living. The wise man is one who is very slow to allow his anger to surface. The fool, on the other hand, is called quick-tempered. Which category do you fit in? The fool or the wise man? I think many of us, if we're going to allow a degree of honesty within ourselves, would have to admit that more oftentimes than not, we tend to play the role of a fool. We're quick-tempered, reactionary. In Proverbs 14, verse 29 and 30, we read these words. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. You see, one is slow to anger, and that shows understanding. The other is quick-tempered, a short fuse, and his actions are of a fool. They are folly. Well, think about it for a second. What happens when we react quickly? We're a quick-tempered person, we react. Well, first thing we see, we tend to say things we shouldn't say, don't we? Have you done this in a situation at home? A lack of communication, a lack of understanding. And instead of stopping and saying, wait a minute, instead of reacting to what my wife said, let me kind of reflect a little bit and do it gently. Honey, I'm sorry, I must have misread you. Maybe I'm in a daze. What did you mean by that? See, there's understanding. But instead of going that route, we tend to go the way of a fool. And we react to what she apparently said. We heard her say one thing, she said something totally different. And before you know it, you have this reactionary back and forth that escalates into an all-out war. All because you're unwilling to stop. Be a wise person. Don't let your anger, your frustration surface. Instead, we are quick-tempered, and we merely respond. We tend to be, as it says in Proverbs, quick-tempered. We exalt folly. Let me give you another example of this reactionary mode, and maybe some of you are familiar with this. You're in work. You've been working there 10 years. And by the way, I could list the number of guys this has happened to. You've been there 10 years. Good job. You've enjoyed the job, but lately you've had a few hassles with your boss. You haven't gotten along that well. Then the boss does something that finally gets your goat. What do? You stop and you say, well, maybe my boss has something wrong at home. Maybe that's why he's acting this way. No, you don't stop and gain that perspective. You react. And you'll take 10 years, and many preachers have done this in board meetings, by the way. You take 10 years of a ministry or a work opportunity, a career, and you shelve it in 60 seconds. You look the guy in the eye and you say, hey, man, hang it on your beak. I'm done. Bye. You give him no choice. He writes the check and you leave. Why? Temper. Out of control. Anger. A reactionary mode. Rather than stop and reflect on a situation and bring wisdom to bear on it, you reacted to it. And you reacted in anger. And when you did, you blew up 10 years of productivity in 60 seconds. This has happened on a number of occasions. The preachers won 25 years in the ministry. In a moment of anger and frustration, a quick temper, in a board meeting said, men, if it won't go my way, I'm leaving. And after 25 years of ministry, a couple said, appreciate your ministry, bye. You mean you're taking my resignation? Yeah. Appreciate all your work. We'll have a party for you next week. My friends, there is a tendency within all of us, because of an untamed temper, to be reactionary, to respond to situations out of anger. And when we do, Proverbs tells us we're exalting folly. And by the way, it creates incredible headaches for us. It really does. Kathy C. Miller has written a book that I think also chronicles how far this can go. It's a book called Out of Control, A Christian Parent's Victorious Struggle with Child Abuse, published by Word. A lot of courage to write a book like this. But Kathy has chronicled her experience of frustration raising children. Frustration that eventually gave way to anger, which eventually gave way to child abuse. A Christian. Let's not paint it like we don't have this problem. We do. And she writes these words, without warning, the pressures that had been mounting throughout the day overwhelmed me. The room seemed to close in on me. I felt like an erupting volcano of hate. Anger and frustration boiled inside of me like hot lava. Ever felt that way? Sure you have. If you had little kids, did you feel like taking it out on them? Sure you did. And maybe you did. Maybe your punishment to them was not just corrective, it was vindictive. All because we have a short fuse, we're quick-tempered, we're reactionary. We all do battle with this. And my friends, if we don't recognize it as a potential disaster, it will eventually get out of control. The question then becomes, why? You know, why does anger create a situation where we make foolish decisions? What happens? Why does a quick-tempered person exalt folly? Let me suggest a couple of things. First of all, when we are angry, we do react. We don't think. You just do something spontaneously. There's no thought given to it, no reflection, no prayer. And when you do that, you do stupid things. After you have blown up, your fuse has been burning and you have blown up. Your temper has let you into an outrage. Have you ever stopped later when you're feeling the remorse of having done that? A sense of guilt that comes with having lost control? Have you ever stopped and thought back and said, you know, why didn't I stop and think about it? Why didn't I take a second and think about what's taking place? I don't know how many times my dear wife has had to pull me aside after spanking one of my children and say, now let me tell you what really happened. Now, from my perspective, I was absolutely right. And I was not necessarily, quote, abusing my children. But I didn't take a second to stop and analyze the situation. I saw it, I didn't see it correctly, and I reacted. Isn't that what we do all the time? The wise person is slow to anger. Slow to respond. You calculate what you're going to do. You don't just do it. Another reason, though, that anger tends to create such problems is it distorts our perspective. When we are angry, we will do things we otherwise would never do. We see things in terms of being far worse than they really are. Something that when you're relaxed and jovial would take place and you wouldn't think anything of it, when you're angry becomes something that's a spark that lights a fire within. It's when you're relaxed and you're at a restaurant and you're eating dinner and children are there, but you've had a good day, nothing much has happened, and the children start to act up. You say, hey, now kids, come on, we're having fun. Turn around, let's finish up dinner, right? Everything's fine. But in a different context, when you're already angry because you couldn't get a parking place at church, and when you did get a parking place, somebody stole it, and when you pulled out of the lot, somebody almost hit you, and then one of these traffic guys tried to give you a ticket. He's not even a cop. Then you went to the restaurant for a nice leisurely lunch. And one of the children acts up, and what do? You nail them, either verbally or physically. Why? Because now everything's distorted. Everything is skewed because of anger. You've lost your perspective. Another problem with anger, in light of it tending to have us exalt folly, it makes us inflexible and narrow-minded. When you're angry, you're not going to give in to anyone, will you? I mean, when you're really mad, you've just made a decision and nobody's going to back you off. You're narrow-minded. You're rigid. But in addition to making some rash decisions, there's something else about an untamed temper that we need to recognize. An untamed temper can cause you physical problems. It can destroy your body. Drop down just one verse. And this verse is not directly applicable to just anger, but to all emotions. But anger certainly is in mind here. Verse 30. A tranquil heart is life to the body. But passion, in other words, heated emotions, is rottenness to the bones. A tranquil heart. Not one stirred by constant anger or aggression, but a tranquil heart. Enjoying life, flexible to the ups and downs of life. A tranquil heart, the heart is the life-giving energy within us. A tranquil heart is life to the body. But that heated emotion, it's like rottenness deep down in your bones. It eats you away. Here's what happens when you get angry. Now follow this. You get angry. You get mad at somebody cuts you off on the road, or the children do something, or your spouse does something. You're angry. Here's what happens. First of all, we perceive a threat. Something that angers us. Maybe it's a threat against our person. But we perceive a threat. Immediately, the brain tells us to release a special stress-related hormone. And it's released spontaneously in response to the situation. That hormone then releases itself into the adrenal glands on both sides, right above the kidneys. And that releases epinephrine and norepinephrine. What you get is that adrenaline flow that you know you feel when you're in that situation where you're uptight, you're angry, you're fearful for your life. This is your adrenaline flow. Suddenly you feel your whole body change. In addition to all that, the organs needed for defense and aggression get primary supplies of oxygen and fuel. Your body goes into a mode where those things you're going to have to use to fight are prepared at the expense of the rest of your body. In addition to that, your blood pressure rises. Have you ever seen somebody angry and you just see it red right up to the top of their head? You ought to check their blood pressure. Blood pressure goes up. In addition to that, the basic digestive system ceases or slows down. Your body can no longer go through its normal process of digestion because it's got to absorb things quickly in order for you to prepare to fight, to stand up. In addition to that, carbohydrates in your liver are released as glucose is used to provide fuel. Your muscles are tense. Your eyes dilate. And even the hair on the back of your head may stand on edge. All because you're angry. Now think for a second. If that happens frequently, what happens to your body? It's interesting. Scientists are now discovering it, aren't they? You've seen the list of points for stress. Loss of a spouse, so many stress points. Moving, so many stress points. Buy a new home with a certain size mortgage, stress points. And what doctors are telling us today, that if you get so many stress points, that within 6 months to a year, you have a strong likelihood of incurring a major physical illness. You've all seen this, I assume. Of course, you're looking at me with blank stares. Doctors are just now seeing the relationship between stress, anxiety, anger, heavy emotions, and physical illness. Why didn't they just read Proverbs? Here it is. Well before the time of Jesus Christ. Tranquil heart, that's life. Life to your body. But if you got these heated emotions and passions, look out, because it'll be like rottenness to the core of your very being. Here's what happens, my friends. And note it well, especially if you are a person prone to anger. If you get yourself to the point where, because of business dealings or with the children, you're in a constant state of anger. By that I mean, you get up in the morning, things are fine, but an hour or two into the day, you've had it already. You're at your wits' ends, and you're angry. You don't like your lot in life. You're fed up with your husband, you're fed up with your wife, you're fed up with the kids, you're angry. Everyone's getting on your nerves, you're angry. You live like that for any length of time, and I'm talking just a matter of weeks and months. You live that way for any length of time, and your body goes through that entire process I just described. You know what happens? Your whole immunological system begins to deteriorate and break down. See, your body can no longer normally fight disease that tends to want to captivate it, because your body is constantly pouring itself out because of your anger, that emotion. You are spending yourself on your own anger at the expense of the normal functioning of your body. And consequently, your defense system breaks down. You want to know something? Could be the number one cause of cancer. Oh, you can't define it like you can so many cigarettes creating lung cancer, but reality is, anger, these heavy emotions that cause our body to go in an entirely different mode of operation, do so at the expense of the basic function of your system. You might want to jot down Ephesians 4:26, which many of you have memorized. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. You know why I think God gave that to us? It's twofold. Number one, God's saying, look, don't go to sleep at night angry and upset. How many couples here are willing to put their hand up and talk about how many times they've gone to bed angry as all get out next to that person sitting right, laying right next to him? You know, normally you both face the middle when you sleep. He's on his left arm, you're on your right arm. You look at each other and you have googie eyes. But not tonight. Tonight he's on his right arm and you're on your left arm. You're looking the other way. In fact, if you had your way, you'd have twin beds right now. Don't go to bed that way. Be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You want to know why? Because your body continues in this mode. Do you ever try to go to sleep when you're angry? And you get up and you say, I'm too strung out to go to sleep. I'm too uptight. Why? Because your body's in a fight mode. Your body's ready. You're angry. You are mad. And your body's pouring chemicals into your body. You're ready to take on a train. And then you say, let's go to bed. You can't. You can't go to sleep. You're so uptight. It's not good for your body. And guess what? It's no good for the relationship. And the longer you wait, the greater is the opportunity for Satan to step in. Satan steps in. I think, number one, you start to feel kind of lousy, don't you? And your stomach's churning. I mean, it's bad enough you're having a fight, but now you feel like you're nauseous. And you probably are, because your body's going through all kinds of gyrations. And now you're really getting frustrated because your body's not even working well. And you're mad that it's gotten to this point where your body's not even functioning. And then Satan creeps in and says, it really is bad, isn't it? And you say, you're right, devil. It's horrible. You probably ought to talk to a lawyer. That's right, devil. A lawyer? We just had a little fight. Oh, no, it's a lot worse than that. You know what happens? If you don't deal with that anger, the further you get away from the situation that caused your anger, the more messed up is your perspective. You can't even figure out why you were fighting. You ever had an experience like that where you traced it back? And you sit there and you've just had a free-for-all in your home. And you can't figure out how it even got started? But you know what? The further away you get without resolving it, the tendency is to make it worse than it really was. You know what happens? If you don't deal with that anger, the further you get away from the situation that caused your anger, the more messed up is your perspective. You can't even figure out why you were fighting. You ever had an experience like that where you traced it back? And you sit there and you've just had a free-for-all in your home. And you can't figure out how it even got started? But you know what? The further away you get without resolving it, the tendency is to make it worse than it really was. That's what you do. Oh, that was horrible. I remember what he said to me. What was it that he said to me? But I know it hurt. Then the devil creeps in and tells you how you can now be free. Oh, don't resolve it. Not after what he did to you. That's the devil speaking. Well, we have seen, first of all, if we have an untamed temper, we tend to react improperly. Maybe we make rash decisions. We say the wrong things. One note on that, by the way. I can remember, this is probably my biggest battle in life, is that I have a tongue, as you can imagine, that moves very quickly. More oftentimes than not, it's in a good mode. And I'm grateful that God allows that. But there are times that when I have that untamed temper, that the knife slips out of my mouth. And it's sharp. It doesn't matter who's in the way. It just starts to cut. And I can just, and I asked Terry if I could share this. We have a phenomenal relationship, but I tend to do that. And in the course of going back and forth, I'll have said something that was just totally off the wall. Lashing out, trying to hurt the one I love the most. And then I'll stop and say, "Now you know I didn't mean that." And Terry's classic line, I mean, it's wedged in my brain, is most people say what they mean and mean what they say. I said, "Yeah, unless they're a preacher." No. Yeah, they usually do. Most people say what they mean and mean what they say, except when they're angry. You're a different person. And you're not a likable person. You're not an easy person to get along with. You make rash decisions. But in addition to that, you begin with an untamed temper to allow your body's mechanisms to break down. Your body doesn't function right. In fact, if it continues for too long, you find yourself with a perforated ulcer. Or you find yourself with hypertension. Because you're not functioning the way God designed you to function. But in addition to all that, if you have an untamed temper, you create what I call a cycle of conflict. In other words, a situation where you're always stirring up a hornet's nest. Turn over to Proverbs 29, verse 22. Proverbs 29 and verse 22 tells us, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions." In other words, we have a two-tiered look at an angry person. First of all, he stirs up strife, and secondly, that angry, hot-tempered man also abounds in transgressions, lashing out at other people. First of all, an angry person is the kind of person that cannot get along with people, causes problems wherever he or she goes. You've been around an angry person? You know what I mean. They're not with you long before they've created a problem. Now, if you're nice, you'll say they're temperamental, right? Temperamental. In fact, they're 90% temper and 10% mental. They will stir up problems. I was in a church situation where one man, and this happens, one man can do it. One man who came in and wore his religiosity on his sleeve and convinced everybody of his godliness was allowed to surface into leadership. And he took personal vendetta against a good friend, the pastor.
And in the course of all this, no one could understand, but there was something within the man that you could tell he had some unresolved conflict. He was obviously an angry person. Finally, when the situation was just to the point of breaking the church in pieces, my pastor friend called where this guy had last been at church, his previous church, before he moved into the area. And the pastor said, "Oh yeah, yeah, he's at your place, huh? Well, you got one of two choices, get rid of him or get out. He's bad news." Now right away you think, "No, is that right for a pastor to do that?" Well, Paul did that about Alexander the coppersmith. So he had problems where he was before, and now he's in this church. And candidly, he had stirred up so much dissension, so much confusion, out of his anger, that the pastor finally said, "Hey, I've had enough. I'm not going to fight this battle." And he left. Interestingly, 4, 5, 6 years later, I believe, that pastor was looking for another church. And he was being called by a number of churches. And one church called and said, "Hey, pastor, we're very interested. We listened to your tapes. They are excellent. We'd like you to come candidate at our church to consider being our pastor." And he said, "Fine, let's get it scheduled." And they said, "One question, though. Do you know, and would you believe, they named the guy. Out of the clear blue, they named this guy." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, he's in our church, and he said he knew you. How do you feel about him?" He said, "Well, I'd rather not say. But if he's there, I'm not coming." And you know, they wanted to know what happened because he was creating problems in that church. Now, it happens in churches, but it'll happen in your life. You're going to find yourself in the company of a person, persons who are angry people. They're mad at the world. They're going to stir up strife, stir up conflict. In addition, though, it says an angry person is one that constantly transgresses, lashes out. An angry person is a human porcupine. You get around them and they let their needles fly. And you walk away bleeding from the pain. But let me give you a closing thought in light of all this. The untamed temper... I believe, should be viewed like a stick of dynamite to a demolition crew. It's very easy to ignite, isn't it? If you have a short fuse, you know how easy it is for you to lose your temper. Over the dumbest things on planet Earth, you'll get angry. It's like a stick of dynamite with a very short fuse. You light that fuse and you watch it burn, but when it blows up, and it does all too frequently, you see pieces of people instead of buildings flying all over the place. You know what? It's extremely difficult to repair the damage. Extremely difficult. It's a lot easier to repair one of these buildings that's been imploded downtown than it is to repair a person. Think about what happens now. Those of you that have an untamed temper, and I think all of us at some point do, you become angry, you lash out at another person. They might not deserve it at all. It's totally displaced. It's irrational. But you lash out in anger. That person begins to suffer some real difficult self-image problems. Man, I'm here to tell you that your wife, if your anger is toward your boss, but you take it out on your wife, she sits there thinking she's a rotten wife. That's the bottom line. And ladies, if you're angry because you're frustrated with the children, which is the hardest job on planet Earth, but you're frustrated with the kids, and your husband comes home and you're angry, he's going to think it's all toward him. He says to himself, "Why should I come home? She's obviously so excited to see me." You begin to suffer some real self-image problems because the most significant person in your life doesn't really appear to love you and want to be with you, when in fact that person is struggling with an untamed temper, with anger. Then in addition to that, you begin to feel totally insecure, especially a woman. Men, we are, I think, equipped by God to better handle conflict, interpersonal conflict. You can go head-to-head with a guy, and after it's all over, you say, "Now, we got it cleared up." "Yeah, it's cleared up." Forget it. And you'll never talk about it again. And you will never really remember it again. It's over. Women aren't made that way. When you do something out of anger, and you hurt your wife, she becomes insecure. She's wondering, you know, is it going to get worse? Does he really love me? How could he have said that? How could he do that? Is there another woman? What's going on? She's totally insecure. And see, we tend to be so inept, men, in this area that here we have a barn burner back and forth with our wife. She now feels like, you know, she's nothing as a person. She feels insecure as your wife. And the next thing you want to do is, hey, why don't we get together in the other room? And you just can't understand why she's not ready. When in fact, she's so insecure in the relationship, there's another problem that's come into it. Namely, she's recoiling. She's pulling back. She's pulling within herself, a protective shell, because she hurts so bad. What happens with a person when you're angry is, first of all, you have a back and forth where you exchange barbs. But usually one party is losing. Both of you, though, tend to recoil from the relationship, like a hand begins to form a fist. And what happens with anger is that a person almost instantaneously can go from being an open person, open to you, communicating, loving, intimate, to a person who's closed. So you have two people who initially were open. Because of an untamed temper, one hits the other and the other hits back. And before 10 minutes are gone, you have two people like this. Now you've got real problems. One of them's going to have to open up and try to open up the other. Sometimes you'll stay like this because neither of you wants to give in. You're both so angry, you're not going to be the one to give in. And you know what? We've got people living together just like this. Two fists. Totally closed. Goes on for days. Their body's deteriorating from the emotional pain, from the body's reaction to it. It's turning into deep bitterness. You're not even sure what the problem is. And you might be living that way for years. Here's what's got to happen. And I want to lay this down as a challenge as we close. One of you has to recognize the grace of God. Even if you were the one who was more right, less wrong, but you open up and say, look, I want to make it right. I'm sorry for what I did. You open up again. And then you look at your person, your friend, your spouse, your loved one, and you say, hey, I want to make it right with you. It'll take time, gentleness, prayer, no more temper outbursts, understanding, and what happens is that hand opens up again. And you get back to this point. Two people open to one another. My friends, Ephesians 4:26 tells us, you shouldn't go to bed until you're that way. Open up. Your spirit toward your husband, your spirit toward your wife. Don't go to bed. I don't care if you're up all night. Don't go to bed until both of you have your spirit open to one another. The challenge is simple. Number one, forgiveness. If somebody with an untamed temper has hurt you, you've got to forgive them. You know what happens if you don't? You begin to deteriorate physically. Their anger owns you. Can you imagine that? You didn't do anything wrong. They're angry at you, but it so bothers you that it begins to control you. You've got to release them. You release them through forgiveness. And the second thing, set out to tame your temper. Next week we'll talk about how do you tame your temper, as Proverbs would tell us. But do you want to do it? Men, ladies, young people, do you want to tame your temper? Do you want to put it on the shelf so you don't have to feel that deep pain in your gut having lashed out at somebody that you love? Where you begin to see the relationship crumble like a building? Do you want to tame it so you don't have to go through that again, or at least a lot less frequently? That's our goal. And Proverbs gives us some wisdom on how to do it. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the practicality of this book. My prayer is for myself and for my friends that we might walk according to wisdom, and that part of that wisdom is understanding that we should be slow to anger. we should have a tame temper. Father, help me, help all of us within. And I pray if any damage has been done in the past days in terms of someone lashing out at another, that you might repair the damage. Father, may forgiveness abound. And then may we all set sail on the opportunity to learn how to tame the temper that's within us. Father, protect us from ourselves, from the anger that tends to rage within. Guard us by the Spirit. Protect us from the opportunity it gives to the evil one. Guide us, Father, and show us how to live life in a way that pleases you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.